5 at 7:02 p.m. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on its rich diversity of residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. This commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda items being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as the commission's subject matter of jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of the speaker's speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Parks and Recreation Commission agenda. Use the Show Captions button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda or presentation items must be submitted prior to the time I call for them for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close a public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to a time period set for public comments. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Commission for Library Trustees meeting agenda. Let's take a minute and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Play ball. That joke's never going to get old or funny for that matter. Roll call. Recording officer, can we please have a roll call?
Chair Custing.
I'm here.
Commissioner Gattani.
Present.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
We have three present and two excused absences.
Excellent. So we've got quorum. We will start with our study sessions. We have item A here, number 25-0969, Active Aging Week. I think there's a staff presentation for Trenton. Good to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you guys again. This is my second favorite annual presentation. I do have a humble heart for the Arts Commission with all the fun ones we get to do every year. So I'm just being upfront and honest, but this is my very second. So tough. A tough close. But anyway.
I understand we're that stepchild. I get it. Okay.
But I'm happy to be here also to provide some just annual updates, not only just about Active Aging Week, but also about the Senior Center in general. And I'm happy to report that things are going great. And it's just, ever since 5, 6 years ago and getting senior centers and programming back open, it's really great to see that facility thriving. So, just a quick little, like I said, we'll do a few slides about the Senior Center, and then we'll jump into Active Aging Week, which is going on this week. So, we just celebrated our 22nd year being open. It's an ever-evolving space. Like I said, we've got over 800 memberships. We serve about 200 lunches a day, a little bit less than that. There's a whole number of wide variety of health and social services that we provide, obviously recreation programming and fitness and mental health and lectures and workshops. And like today we had a resource fair. So there's a lot going on in the Senior Center. It's supported obviously by the city. It's just only $40 for a resident for the whole year or $60 for non-residents for the whole year. That's intentional. The city trying to be inclusive as possible. That unlocks, in addition to things that I mentioned on the previous one, there's a bunch of free daily things. So you don't have to sign up for a class and pay more money to enjoy the Senior Center. You can come and participate in a lot of our free events. The computer lab is free. There's a billiards room that's free. There's a fitness room that's also free. And then you can also get a few coupons to pay for some of those other classes that you might be interested in. And of course, anybody over 50 is welcome to come. Like I said, anybody is welcome. Doesn't matter where you live or reside. You just get a little bit of a discount, but we welcome everybody. Here are some additional things that we offer. When I first made these slides, this was a month ago, and we've got a day trip. Is it next week that's Fleet Week?
Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah.
This
So
weekend.
plans have changed a little bit with that. I don't know if you've heard. It's still happening, but on a different scale. But that boat is literally the boat that our seniors get to take and observe Fleet Week. So there literally is not a better seat in the house. than coming on a day trip with the senior center to go see Fleet Week. As you can, that's not Saturday or Sunday afternoon prime time. That's Thursday during the practice. So there is that little asterisk on there. We're able to pull that and make it affordable during the practice session. And then, but we do all sorts of trips throughout the year. In addition to that, our care management is a great service to people. It's basically, we like to call it just the kind of 411. You don't know who to call. If you've got somebody that's over 50 in the community, you don't know what to do. Hey, they need financial help. They need meals delivered. They need transportation. If you're not sure where to go, we've got care management services in-house that help get you connected to those resources. So we're like the good at 411. We'll point you in the right direction. And there are some things we can take care of in-house, including we do in-house visits for some residents here if they're unable to. And we partner with our public safety department to make sure everything's great. But they're usually actually referrals on that level. Because a lot of times if they're isolated, we won't know about it. But public safety is usually the first person to know for unfortunate reasons. But then they will contact our senior center and our care managers and say, hey, what can we provide this person? So it's a great partnership too. So one of the other things that we've got that was done back in 2017, city council and staff put a lot of work to become an age-friendly city. So we are age-friendly here in Sunnyvale. What that is it's a national kind of a, I guess, accreditation office, but not really, provided by the World Health Organization in partnership with the AARP. And so they help provide our plans. What it has done is to create a framework for cities to help make their communities more age friendly. What that means is just pause for a minute when you're creating a new project. Hey, pause for a minute. How is this supporting our older? Is it making it not just ADD, right? Those boxes will already be checked, but how can we make it more friendly? And so this plan will help us identify actionable goals in a short term time frame that we can actually accomplish, right? So it's not like tear down the city and rebuild a whole new one, check. Right? It's meant to be actionable items that we can do. The good news, because I know you guys also like to know what can we do, how can we get involved? This one, we're literally in the middle of the process now of revisiting our three-year action plan, which actually is extended a little bit longer because of COVID. So we're really excited to get it back and going, but that's one where either you can offer your services if you are passionate about older adults and want to review that plan and help create the goals. That's one area that staff need. Also, if that's not something you're interested in, I'm sure you might know another resident or a neighbor who might obviously be an advocate for our older adults. We would like them to also do that. So please, you can see the email address on there. It's a staff advisory committee. But like I said, it's focused around passing the plan. So it's not some unknown, we'll see or we'll figure it out. We've got a goal. We've got actually something to discuss, and we've got a timeline of getting it done as soon as we can. So just go ahead and email seniorcenter@sunnyvale.ca.gov and we'll make sure we can go from there. So that's definitely one thing that we could appreciate you guys. So active aging, advocacy, and see who can join our staff advisory committee. This week, we've been having a great time providing free opportunities for the community, which is really what Active Aging Week is all about. It's a national initiative that's basically kind of run or steamheaded by the International Council of Active Aging. So there are hundreds, if not thousands, of cities across the country doing exactly what we're doing here. So today was kind of our culmination event, which we were proud to announce was the first time that we brought it back since prior to 2020. But we had a senior resource fair, so it was completely free for anybody. So it was 9 to noon. We had over 30 vendors, and it was a wide variety. So it was as simple as, of course, like maybe some home care, might be health services, but then additionally, we have educational or transportation. Many city departments were represented. And the whole point was to get all of the service providers in one room, because as we know, through offering care management services, it's a lot of, oh, go call this person for your one problem, and then go talk to them for your other problem. And so we were really trying to help provide this service to others. And this was intentional, the timing. A lot of other cities that are neighboring do it in the spring. So it's not uncommon that this is offered, but we were hoping to kind of do this. And so we'll help, you know, promote their resource fairs in the spring, and hopefully they can do it for us in the fall. As you can imagine, it's a lot of shared providers, so it's win-win. It's all the same outreach for them. So here are a list of kind of activities that we had going on this week. Like I said, these were all free to everybody. So the one that you guys are welcome to, whether you're 50 or over or not, doesn't matter. Ice cream social, Friday. It's during lunchtime, so also no excuses. 12:30 to 1:30. Anybody's welcome to come have a little bit of ice cream and just say hi. And if all you want to do is just escape for 30 minutes, we're here for you. But we're really excited for that. We're heard nothing but positive feedback today. We had over 350 attendees, which was also, we didn't know, we hadn't done it in a long time. So it was really exciting. Staff felt that their time was worth it. So it was just great all around. And here's some other fun ones. Oh yeah, you guys might recognize that guy in the lower left. This was one of our recent day trips to this building here just a couple months ago. But a lot of our seniors, believe it or not, even though this building's been open for a couple of years, have not been able to make it here. And so we did a new day trip program that we expanded calling Keeping It Local. And so same thing, it's coordinated by the city. It's either free or very low cost, meaning like we've negotiated a cheap lunch or something, but it's meant to be keeping it local. So transportation is not supposed to be the challenge. So a lot of them came here. We had over 50, it sold out. I know it's sold out, it was free. we're not charging for that opportunity. But the mayor gave his time. As you can see, they were all engaged and they loved it. But that was a great tour of this building, and they also got to learn more and also get some one-on-one time, with the mayor. So it was a great hit. We also do table tennis over at Murphy Park, which is a huge success. I know you guys are very familiar with active athletic groups, and table tennis is no exception, including at the senior games this past year. One of their members actually won the gold medal, which was really exciting, and the mayor's going to be celebrating that in the next week or two. So there's lots of great things happening over there as well. So I'm happy to take any questions about the Senior Center or any of our active aging programs. And if not, I'm actually the next presentation too. So you're not going to get rid of me yet.
All right. Do we have any questions from the commissioners for staff or comments?
Well, thank
Commissioner
you.
Geary?
Thank you for the presentation. Insightful. This livability score of not really related to the active aging part, but it shows only, there are some which are well below for 40 particular reasons. Have you looked at into those?
Yeah, thank you. Excuse me. So the question was in reference to, that's something that the World Health Organization does. There's an assessment, and it's just more of like a snapshot. So I'm sure I'm wrong, but probably not. I'm going to put my neck out there. There's nobody that's 100%, because that means, right, all of your buildings, all of your traffic, all of your transportation system, all of your recreation, all of your parks, all of your technology is all, right? I don't know if that's capable, which is the point. So yes, there's areas that we are way ahead of, but that's basically livability scores, kind of think of it as the bell curve spectrum. So some areas we're ahead of the curve, other areas we're behind. So that's kind of, it's like a snapshot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. I was wondering more, is there something we could do to even improve those areas?
It's a great question. Unfortunately, the short answer is no, because the reasons why is that it's typically stuff that just takes longer to accomplish, right? So a lot of it's infrastructure related. So that just takes a lot of planning, a lot of community outreach. So you'll see over time, things becoming those scores that are related to safe transportation, housing is another huge one. Those are two big things that, typically cities have a harder time doing just because they take so long to accomplish.
A couple of the, I think the ones that had the low scores, like I think it said social and civic engagement, do they say what that, I think I see a lot of seniors really involved in, when be it in commissions or be it some of the city events. Is there particular, do they point out why, they give such a score,
Yeah,
or from the benchmark that they do, maybe relative to other cities?
From a lot of that, they ask questions relative to the frequency of how often, basically you're, out of the house socializing with other people. So the way they kind of get it, right, how many times do you go out to go to the grocery store? How many times, or do you have a friend that's out of the house? Do you meet with them regularly? So they ask questions like that to engage. And so while we might hear or see from the most vocal and active ones, There are a number of also older adults, and I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but that are more isolated, or they also choose not to socialize. They might have their own family network or other reasons they don't need it. That won't be reflected in here either. So it's more just about the snapshot of how often they are doing it.
Thank you. The chair recognizes Commissioner Catani.
Hi. I'm not sure this question probably will relate to this, but I met a couple of people here in the park, and I see a situation where like there are like quite elderly people, and they get some money from the county to survive, and somehow their family members take that money and they don't have anything to eat. So I would like to know, like in the aging program, any kind of like the social help or like the food drive or like anything that can help those people, because there has to be like somebody to guide them, like, you know, how to avoid this situation, or like some social worker can come.
Yeah, and I just want to take a moment and I appreciate you for asking that question, because it's one that actually we get more often than probably people know. So there's two things that they can get immediate help and some answers for. One is call us. We have our care managers, and so they will help work with that individually. And when I mean call us, it can be any, it doesn't have to be the resident that lives in Sunnyvale. We just need a connection to Sunnyvale, right? And we're happy to answer any calls, you know, and if we need to further you to other resources, we can do that. But anybody that's a resident or works here or their parents live here or whatever, give us a call. We'll help you go where you need to go. So that's the first thing, because then they can work individualized to help learn a little bit more about specific situations. Because some things might be money, some things might be some other factors, and they will help. They're pros, and they know how to, they're licensed social workers, and so they know how to ask questions to figure out the exact need. Secondarily, Sunnyvale Community Services here is the nonprofit, also provides a number of resources relative to food specifically. Our Columbia Neighborhood Center also partners with Second Harvest Food Bank. So there are another things here directly in Sunnyvale. So both from the nonprofit side, as well as the city side, we're happy to help. So care managers, and also contact Sunnyvale's community services.
So visiting the senior center will help.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we can come. We're Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. And then you can send emails also, if that's easier. So come by, email, call. We're happy to help.
Oh, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say call the senior citizen center, that's the number we see on that slide right there.
That's my direct number.
Okay.
Call that too.
All right.
Yeah, excellent. Everybody listening, thank you. Welcome to call.
No, hey, man, I appreciate that.
No, thank it's you. The point. Anybody in the senior center is all on the same team, and we're happy to help.
Yes, sir. And the senior center, just help me out, like I'm dumb. That's the space on Remington. Yeah. Behind that gigantic pool that is in the process of being renovated.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. It's part of the community center campus. There's five buildings, so mm-hmm. we're one of the five.
So the senior center is located at 550 Remington, at the campus over there, and it's open Monday to Friday from 8:30 until 5:30. And in regards to us being second place of your favorite commissions, what the heck, man? I thought we were friends. What's going on here?
Well,
I'd just like to point out that, like, as far as cities can be at 100, have you been to Fort Myers, Florida? I mean, we're talking retirement, like, capital of the world.
It's frankly, nobody's I fault live here, any
not of, going to Florida, but
any of the staff, it's no, none of the fault there. It's just when I got hired here, that was the first commission I worked with. So it happens to be circumstance.
Yeah. The ice cream social on Friday obviously is a great thing to be doing at 12:30 to 1. I hope anyone who's paying attention is going there. In regards to making things better, right? Commissioner Geary brought it up, what we can do to make things better. Dude, you said that there's a 3-year action plan, right? So we can get involved with the 3-year action plan by, I guess, calling the senior center, right? Or by writing to seniorcenter@sunnyvale.ca.gov. And we can be involved with the building of the 3-year action plan about how we can support senior citizens here in Sunnyvale.
Yeah, it is a staff advisory. So staff have formulated most of the plan, but they really need help identifying, we need help mm-hmm. identifying the specific goals.
Okay.
And a lot of that comes from community input.
Yeah, like, you know, food resources and financial
exactly.
resources.
And the same thing, and anybody that's interested, contact me directly as well. Happy
yes,
to
sir.
Happy to talk with them.
And Active aging. I saw that we had some table tennis over there. My guess is there's a lot of pros for pickleball and swimming, right? And Commissioner Bramon isn't here, but I'm going to take the opportunity to support him and say there's not enough swimming for senior citizens in this community, and we need to have more swimming. So I'll push that. Last, I want to end on, have you been to the new park, the Corn Palace? Yeah, what'd you think about that?
Yeah, well, that's why. The other half of my job is art, and so I'm familiar with the project from the public art standpoint. So we've seen the plans
Yeah.
from there, and I've been out to the site once.
But I mean from a senior citizen perspective, have you had any thoughts about that?
Well, what I can speak for what I've heard from surveys is that when the older adults in our community have more access to parks and recreational spaces close to their homes, their livelihood's better. They're more likely to go outside, less isolation. So from that standpoint, there's huge advantages to any open spaces we can get. So with my senior center hat on, I'm patting everybody's hat in the back, including Jim. Thank you for your team's hard work also. The more open spaces we can get for our seniors in their neighborhoods, because transportation is a thing, the better.
There's also, facilities that are there, right? There's those exercise machines that are at that location. There's the big grassy lawn that's at that location, and there's a walking around path that's at that
Correct.
location.
That's why it's like if we can get the space, the law's already there to support older adults in terms of making them accessible. Parks has always done an amazing job adding amenities and other equipment that the community is interested in. So if that's what the community needs, make your voice heard, and then we'll make sure that that's included in scope.
So as a commission, we should keep an eye out for what are things that are going on at Las Palmas Park, right, which is up
It's
next,
coming up.
that can be done to help support our senior citizens, specifically paths, green open spaces, elderly exercise equipment.
Exactly. Anything that you should be included there. I mean, right? We've got a general idea of what should be there, but now's the time to make sure that your needs are heard.
Pickleball and shuffle board.
Shuffleboard would be
Yeah.
great. That's my jam.
Okay, that's the last of my stuff. Anything else? Here we go. We got one more. We recognize Commissioner Geary.
You, Chair. I've been wanting to sign up for the last couple of years for senior center, but I haven't done that yet. I should do that just to at least get on the mailing list or understand what's going on. A couple of questions. I mean, one is the numbers. About 800 members, you said, right? And how much are Sunnyvale residents versus non-Sunnyvale residents? And do we have an idea of that, on that?
Yeah, about 60% of them are residents. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of the non-residents sign up because of specific programs. So there's some programs that have followings, right? People are willing to travel. Our table tennis is one of them. We've got some other dance things or where there's social impacts involved also. So that's typically where the non-residents come from.
Not because of ice creams.
They come though. They come.
So, how many are have we gotten any surveys on how many are not able to sign up because it's a little farther? I mean, like maybe North Sunnyvale or people around the Corn Palace areas. Do we have an idea? I mean, because of the distance, they are unable to sign up, and maybe should we look at a satellite center like similar to library, right? At another location within the city, another senior center.
Yeah, I mean, those are all things to explore for sure. We do know that transportation is one of the biggest barriers for people coming to the senior center, but we also know that there are some other grants and things happening outside of the senior center that will help probably alleviate some of that. Because transportation, a lot of it, right, at least now, is just money. If you have money, you can fix that problem, right? So there are grants and some things supporting it. But some of the other stuff is not as easy. So I'm talking around about because there's not a clear-cut answer whether we need one or we don't, or if we did this, more people would sign up. Because a lot of it just has to depend with people's schedules, what services are available at that time. A lot of our older adults have routine schedules, and so they need services or things that fit. So there's a number of factors that contribute to that. But like I said, I think my recommendation is just always keep an ear open. And then when you get a moment, just pause and just ask and listen. And then, I think the choice will present itself.
So the transportation, I thought VTA does provide some free shuttle services for seniors. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, there are a number of agencies, including City of Sunnyvale, that's working with some state grants to try to get some things going on too. A lot of it's relative to funding that's got held up or hasn't. There's a lot of cogs and a lot of groups, and everybody knows, and there's a lot of people willing to do it. Part of it too is the biggest need now is more point-to-point transportation as opposed to general, like bus stops. Think of them as like where people have to get to a bus stop to go somewhere. That's still a barrier for a lot of seniors, especially in this area, because they either don't make enough or they make too little, and they fit in that group where they don't apply for some county programs, for instance. Go ahead.
No, I was wondering if this Petey Park ride, does that also include the community center as well?
Not as an origin point. I think you can start in Peary Park. I'm not sure if anybody in the room knows a little bit more about that program, the Peary Park Transportation. If you start in Peary Park, can it make it to the community center? No? Yeah. Yeah, there's a resident providing some additional context, that it doesn't appear so.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd like to point out that you might have some gray hair, but I don't think you qualify for the Senior Citizen Center yet.
Hey, we take volunteers of all ages.
Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and we'll close this part of the meeting, and we're gonna move on to study session B25-0970, the Arts and Humanities Month. And it's great that you're already here because you're presenting that too.
Thank you for having me, Trenton Hill, a recreation manager. So every year in October, we celebrate Arts and Humanities Month, really just another moment to kind of celebrate all of the great accomplishments in art and how that can help live to kind of a better community and hopefully supporting humanity in general. So some things that we've done every year, it's a national initiative also for Americans, from Americans for the Arts. So same thing, almost everybody nationally is doing something. We've done a wide variety of things. The picture you can see here was yarn art in the park, which was a lot of fun. They got to, for lack of a better place, they put their crochet artwork on these benches. So that was great, which inspired the future years, which is kind of what we've got now, which is art in the park. Also, we've done it at Washington. So we've done it for a couple of years now, but basically it's an opportunity. It's free. For any resident, you do need to be a preference is given to Sunnyvale residents. But basically, it's a 3-foot by 3.5-foot blank canvas that you can do. And the only criteria is that we want something is what's your favorite thing about Sunnyvale. So this was from a previous year. The ones that are for this year, your favorite place about Sunnyvale, are getting put up this week. So if you like to go visit Washington Park, not tonight, because I don't think the lighting's great, but some other day, please go by and see what some families have put together, mainly, and some students actually have done some great work. Some really cool things. We actually still have a couple left. So anybody listening or same thing, how can you guys help spread the word? Because we want to get more art in that park. This one's free. All you need to do is just supply the paint and the general concept. We don't even need to see a sketch. We just need to talk about what it is. And I'm sure we can figure out something to go to get you to get it going. So this is something we plan to do every year in some capacity, shape, or form. But we're also always looking to ways to partner with the Arts Commission to see what other kind of programs and activities they do, as well as with Parks and Rec, if there's anything that they think the Arts Commission should consider too. But I'm here to help answer any questions, anything art related.
Okay. Do any commission members have comments or questions for staff on this presentation? Mm-hmm. Recognize Commissioner Gattani.
Yeah. For the art, do you need to come in person and like do all the work over there? Because anything painting, it is not a one-time job.
Yes. Great question. No, it's we just need to kind of submit an application, which we do have. It's pretty brief. Like I said, it's more about us talking and then putting down the concept on paper. So that's it. From there, we'll approve it. We'll hand you a blank canvas to take home.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So the only caveat, right, is that we do have a date, an end date. Parks Jim's great, but Parks also knows that weather happens and things, so they don't want us to keep him up forever. So we do have an end date. So it's more, that's the urgency, is that the quicker they can get him done, the faster, the longer they can be on display.
And the canvas plus paint.
We provide the canvas, you guys just do the paint.
Paint,
yeah.
I see.
Acrylics is ideal because it can withstand the elements better than tempura paints can, but yeah. So yeah, take one home. Come by the senior center, pick up a canvas. Well, no, don't. You need to call first. Make sure we have one, and then we can also talk about an application.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good. Anything? I'm going to say, are you familiar with an artist named Olek, O-L-E-K?
I don't think so.
Yeah, pretty amazing work. She does these very large knit pieces that she then installs in the public realm. I thought you'd be into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. That's all I have. I don't think there's any public comment for this. No. Okay. So I'll close public comment and we will move on to the last study session item. Thank you, Trent. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. We'll move on to the last study session item. That's item C25-0971 to provide input for annual boards and commissions study sessions. Is there a staff presentation on this? I don't think there is, right? So just to clarify, there's a meeting coming up for city council when chairs and vice chairs are present and we're supposed to provide input to city council about what's going right on the commission and what we can do to change to make things run more smoothly. That's the agenda here. So this is the opportunity for us to have some input to city council on what we would like to see changed, what we like about this commission and what we would like to see changed to make the commission better.
May I just add something? Generally, sure. Commissioner Kesting, you're the one who attends that meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
And comments during the comment period.
Yes, ma'am.
So hopefully you'll get some feedback here that you can take collectively.
Yes, ma'am.
Unfortunately, we don't have the entire commission here.
Yeah, that's okay.
But, you know, I think you know where
it was on the agenda. Yeah, it was on the agenda, so. Anything?
No, in my 7 years, 8 years on this commission, there have been a lot of inputs that have gone in. Have there been concrete actions on those? I mean that the council takes. I mean, hey, these are inputs that came from the commissions. These are the actions. I mean, like a summary of things from different commissions.
I remember last year they did a recap of a number of the items, action items they'd gotten directly off that list and that they had implemented. I mean, it seemed pretty productive. I mean, some of them were definitely pretty crazy. The ideas were pretty left field, and I'm pretty sure they were mine. Bring a commissioner to work day. That was, I thought, a pretty good idea.
It is, actually.
Because we don't really know enough about how things work in Parks and Rec.
We did have the other discussion around conducting the actual meeting. We used to have that a while back. We do the commission meeting in different parks. And this was years ago. Murphy Park, sometimes Ponderosa Park. Is that, I mean, like just before the session, just everybody gets to take a look at it and then do the commission meeting there. Is that something that we can revive?
Certainly. I mean, we can come up with an idea and put and suggest to council.
I know that because of the Zoom and the technology capability won't be there. I think this was pre-COVID, yeah.
I mean, really, you can make any suggestions you would like. Right now, I would say, no, we don't have the technology at any park to broadcast a meeting. That doesn't preclude you like you did back in June where Jim led a tour of Las Palmas, was it?
Yes.
And you're allowed to get feedback of that. You know, just the meeting was not there, but the opportunity to discuss what was going to be the future of that park was provided.
So, I mean, I think having a discussion with council to let them know how successful that was, I thought that it went pretty well. That's a good idea.
I'm not sure whether we have the database of like the study issues that is submitted for like the past few years, because a lot of times when we submit the study issues, probably some portion is already covered or like some portion is already addressed. It will be very helpful to see the list of things that is like approved, that is implemented, and the things, so that any new study issues that we submit, that will gain significant attention. So I see like a lot of overlaps mm-hmm. when it is submitted. Mm-hmm. I also like to see more transparency, like let's say some study issue is submitted. Some takes like 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, and some takes some like year to make some decisions. Because we have brought in like several things, but these several things is like taking like very long time. Even if it is like no, then it has to have like certain time frame to commit on that. So those process could be refined, in my opinion.
What I'm hearing you say is that you appreciate having the study issue process, and you would like to have greater a greater understanding about what has been proposed in the past and what's out there now. And I think a great response to that is it looks like the study issue process is going to be completely changed, right? I mean, it sounds like it's going to be taken away, right? So like the city council is currently moving to change the study issue process so that this commission and all commissions would stop putting together study issues.
I see.
Yeah. It sounds like maybe there would be one that comes out.
The final decisions really are going to be made at the October 21st meeting. So I would encourage you to attend that if you want to have input into the study, the future of study issues and how that process is going to work. There were several ideas put on the table at the last time they discussed it, including, you know, are the city council members the only ones who put forth study issues? Can one bubble up through each commission that then gets put towards the council? Can each member of or the chair of a commission go to a council person and, you know, say, this is what Parks and Rec really wants to get behind this year, mm-hmm. and pitch that idea, so to speak, to their council or to one of the council people. So those are some of the discussion items that are going to come up on October 21st. So yeah. I wouldn't say for sure it's set in stone. The council still has some decisions to make on it.
Yeah. But it's pretty clear that the amount of time that's put into the review of study sessions is too onerous, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is they spend days and days and days going through study yeah. issues and trying to rank them and find out which one's going to be the best one. And then it, whatever makes it above the line, then spends, you know, years in the process of being studied to have something that's actually actionable behind it. So it's pretty clear that there's going to be a change in the study issue process. And what I'm hearing from you is that you appreciate having the study issue process, but I don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, like probably I missed too much. Yeah. It's like probably I wasn't there in like last two meetings and probably that's didn't okay. get to no, catch up, but I really appreciate, you know, there has to be like some closure and some procedures onto that. Whether we keep the study issue process or we introduce the new process, there has to be a tangible outcome every year that this commission did these significant things, which actually helps the community. That is what the objective behind this one. However you do it, whether introducing, if the process, defining the process, if it takes 6 months, I would not encourage that to take 6 months to define some process. It has to be quick. It has to be closed this year so that we can focus on to the objectives and we can get the things delivered.
What I'm hearing you say is that there's a desire to affect the community in a positive way.
Yes.
And a need to try to recap what those ways were at the end of the year. That's what I'm hearing
you that say. Is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
And I mean, I think that's consistent with some of the proposals that the council is discussing. I mean, I, for one, would really I feel like there's a lot of things that are discussed here for the study issue. Through the study, I use the study issue process all the time, just as like a megaphone to get ideas that we hear here at this commission out and over to council, right? Specifically pickleball, specifically, specifically dog parks, specifically, street trees, specifically,
lighting.
What's going on with lighting? What's going on with artificial turf? What's going on with grass in general? Those are things that we hear at this location all the time. One of the things we heard at this location was, I don't know when parks are being reserved, right? Well, I don't know what park is reserved at what time. And putting together a study issue 4 years ago, that was, how do we know what park is reserved at what time? That one page turned into immediate policy that was outward facing, where people can look that stuff up now on our website, and it's pretty cool, right? So having that, I think, definitely is helpful.
I mean, like, right now I can give one example that the recent months, I don't know what is happening in the Sunnyvale. There are a lot of crows are there in Sunnyvale, and a lot of animals are there, which is everywhere. Roughly 300 plus lawns are completely like destroyed by these things, like literally, like, you know, the people who put it, and they are very frustrated, like, how this is happening, how do we protect it? It's literally like dig down and taken the sod out from the ground up. Now, these kind of stuff, right, you know, if city knows, or like we know, like some kind of stuff, we can give immediate relief. But if it goes through the current process, probably there will be thousands and thousands of their residents who will be facing this. It will be, the impact will be very huge. And people are not motivated to like then maintain the landscape or do any other stuff. They are discouraged. So that's what the point I wanted to bring it, that.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is that having the time to digest input from the people who attend these meetings,
yes,
who you meet out in the public, who say, "Ah, oh, Commissioner Catani, you run City Hall, don't you?
Yeah.
You're over here at this commission. You can help me with my food stamps that are getting stolen all the time. Or you can help me with all these crows that are showing up all the time. Or you can help me with knowing what field's being used at what time." Having the opportunity for this commission to digest and then put together what we believe is a solution,
yes,
to City Council is a valuable asset and something that we should be taking advantage of. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea? Being able to maintain putting together potential policy based on what we hear from the people who visit these commissions? Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I mean, yeah, so that's a good thing to have on there. Anything else that we should be bringing up to the council? For how things are working here, what's working well, what's not working well here?
I think some of those were Some of the items were discussed later. We deferred it, but I think eventually there is some policy. Like, for example, I know we discussed, in one of my first early commission meetings about the foot traffic in city parks. And I believe there was even a recent email from one of the residents as well that suggested there are, I know you mentioned back then, Jim, that there are the park superintendents. So there is a convention that happens that you go to, right, every year. And one of those that was being discussed is how do we look at traffic to parks. And I know back then that wasn't there. I mean, the technology wasn't there, but now there is. How do we, I mean, do we have to really come back to as a and start a study process, or can that become a policy thing that parks can take up and see how we could do that?
Yeah. What are you asking specifically? Like how, if we wanted to use technology to monitor activity in the parks?
Yeah. And more, how many people are visiting the park, or even specifically how many people are using certain sections field, of the park?
I think you're asking for field usage data at our
not
parks.
Not necessarily, field usage, but it could be all even public visiting a park, right? I mean, I would say even picnic tables.
Park
usage data. Yeah.
Accessible park usage data. That's very similar to the study issue we just put out.
Yeah. So I think it'll be nice if we, I know if, whether that requires, I know there was a discussion on that that was dropped as a study, mm-hmm. I mean, but now that it's revived, do we need to take those as studies or, I mean, do you
My quick take on it is it's a huge undertaking. It doesn't seem like it, but we have 27 different sites. So you'd have to monitor those, you know, over the course of at least a year. So I think it gets really complicated really quickly. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for, is like, hey, what is our park? You know, how many visits do we get in each park or something like that? It's going to be a pretty big lift. So somehow that would probably go through council, either as a budget, you know, as a budget issue or a study issue. But then you get into privacy concerns and things like that. Right. And because I know there's a lot of different ways you can do it out there. The technology is there. We've seen some of the stuff demoed. But yeah, I the mechanism for that would probably be something going through the budget because there would have to be funding for it. So, you know, the slow way, as we know, is a study issue. The quicker way is probably a budget process.
I think that the privacy concern was that back then, but I think that's no more there because it doesn't really looks like there are a lot of parks around in the country adopting that or cities adopting that. And it doesn't personally identify a person, but it uses certain characteristics and makes counts. Mm-hmm. And seems like the technology has improved now. I haven't seen that, but I mm-hmm. read yeah. based on the article. It seems like it's able to summarize. I mean, there is technology, but there are costs associated.
Sure. Yeah. So my guess is that the cost would probably drive which direction we would go in to try to implement it. You know, if it's, you know, if it's $5,000 or $10,000, not a big deal, but it's probably going to be a lot more than that. Yeah, so that's when it gets into, you know, bigger budget issues that involve city council.
Chair recognizes Commissioner Geary, Commissioner Catani.
Yeah, I think a couple of days back, somebody sent me that the app that they are developing, it's an AI-based app for the parks. I forgot and I was about to look at that, but Prakash, I can probably send you that. I received a link about that. Because I asked this in the last meeting also, and I think we all like inclined towards that, like this is very helpful. So probably we need to look in that one, like what exactly like this app, or probably we need to get more detail that what development that they are trying to do with this app. So probably that might be.
Okay. I just want to keep us focused on our goal for this particular part of the session. And that's to come up with suggestions, recommendations to City Council about how we can improve the effectiveness of this commission. And what I'm hearing being said right now is that there's a need, there's a desire from the commission to help implement policy that we are hearing from the public that they want.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing you say. Specifically, like when people, the county official who runs parks and rec for Santa Clara explicitly said, do you have data for how your fields are being used? Right? Yeah. That's what I'm hearing you say. Yep. So if in fact the study issue does go away from the commission's perspective, having another lever to pull that says this is policy we're hearing and we're seeing as being important to the public, how do we implement that? Having a lever would be good to pull. If it's the budget proposal or the study issue or something else, X, Y, and Z, whatever we want to call it. And do we have any other items? And Laura, I want to keep us on track. I don't want us to sprawl forever. I don't know if we have a time on this, but how about another 8 minutes? Is that reasonable at most? And then we can cancel, like move on to the next thing. do we have any other particular things that we think would be help with the effectiveness of this commission? We have right now, we have more on-site commission meetings where we're at a particular park, and we have an element that will allow us to help implement policy at the city council level.
One other thing, I know it's a lot of things are updates or from the staff. Is that something, I don't know if it's in the municipal code or the city charter, that is, does it have to be every month? Can it be every 2 months, but more effectively and do longer meetings, but every 2 months? Save time, staff time. I mean, I don't know if that's something the county does it. That's how county meetings are.
You could definitely suggest fewer meetings that are more robust.
So your recommendation would be for fewer meetings that are more robust. How do you feel about that, Katani?
I agree with that.
I mean, I would disagree with that. Can you please speak to your rationale for why that would be better?
I mean, the robust process.
Commissioner Geary, I think your proposal is to have fewer meetings, fewer Park and Recreation Commission meetings, and have those meetings be more robust.
Correct.
Right.
So
can you please speak to the rationale behind why that would be better?
Yeah. So it's be specific. There are a lot of overlaps on a lot of things that is presented. So it'll be good to even staff, sometimes it's the same staff coming multiple times to present it on different topics though, but be more effective if it's done at one setting. And the commission, there are some topics that require longer discussion. And I think since we anyway make trips, I mean commissioners, I think it's good to have those committed time slots, which like we have every first Wednesday. We could make that as first Wednesday every other month, and commissioners come prepared for those. So time-wise more effective, and I think staff time-wise it's.
I think what I'm hearing you say is that not having 12 meetings annual would be reasonable. We currently have what, like 7 meetings a year, right? Approximately, maybe eight.
We could even
really do 10. Seems like we missed a lot.
We missed
at least 3 meetings last year.
It might have been a fluke, but normally, if you look at our work plan, we're agendized for I think 11.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I misunderstood the question. I feel that monthly a meeting is like the decent frequency that we bring in, like, you know, many of the stuff that is happening. But the meeting outcomes, right, you know, every meeting that we go, we discuss about these things. That is what it need to be more robust. That is where I'm more inclined towards. Because whatever we discuss and it goes in like the several months, and then there is no conclusion coming it out. So that is where we need to drive, like, you know, some like conclusions from the meeting that can derive to the next meeting. So before the next meeting comes, we need to ensure that whatever it was discussed so that the meeting is more effective.
Okay.
It could be less or it could be more, but at least I can proudly say that, like, in a year, like for this Sunnyvale community, Park and Rec did these things where the residents are happy.
Okay. What I'm hearing being said is that having on-site, additional on-site commission meetings is a good idea. Having an element that we can implement to affect policy here at the city level is a good idea. And then having more robust meetings that would occur less often, less than 11 a year, with details that recap what explicitly was accomplished at these meetings and how it is that we're pushing, you know, our agenda forward. That's what I'm hearing being said. And that's what I think we would push forward at the council meeting where we talk about parks and commission effectiveness. If there's nothing else, I think we should move on. Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll move on now. So thank you so much for the time to cover that. I definitely will bring all that stuff up with council. So moving on to oral communications, I have a public announcement. This is United Against Hate Week. United Against Hate Week is a community-driven campaign designed to raise awareness, foster inclusion, and stand together against all forms of hate, bias, and discrimination. And Lord knows we need it now. Its purpose is to bring people together to promote unity, encourage understanding, inspire action, and celebrate diversity as a source of strength. As part of this effort, the city will host two special events highlighting our community's commitment to equity and inclusion. The first event is Sharing Their Stories, an LGBTQ+ panel dialogue. The Office of Equity, Access, and Inclusion invites you to Sharing Their Stories, an LGBTQ+ panel dialogue. Which is an inspiring community event with the LGBTQ Youth Speakers Bureau. Hear powerful personal stories and lived experiences from the LGBTQ+ speakers, celebrate resilience, and connect through open dialogue. This safe and welcoming space invites all community members to listen, reflect, ask questions, and build empathy together. This event will take place on Thursday, October 21st from 3 to 5 p.m. in person at City Hall. Registration is required to attend. For more information and to register, visit sunnyvale.ca.gov and search Sunnyvale Unity. Our contact 408-730-7950, which is not Trenton Hill's phone number. The second event is Sustainability Speaker Series event. The Sunnyvale Sustainability Commission invites you to the upcoming Sustainable Speakers Series event, United for Disability and Climate Justice. Daphne Frias, a 27-year-old Latina and disability rights advocate with cerebral palsy, will share her powerful perspective on the intersection of disability rights and climate justice. Featured in the New York Times, Team Vogue, and on NPR, Daphne highlights how the strength and resilience of disabled communities can inspire new approaches to protecting our environment and fighting climate change. Join this inspiring event to gain a fresh perspective on achieving our climate goals through a lens of equity and inclusion. This event will take place virtually on Monday, October 27th from 7 to 8 p.m. Registration is required to attend. For more information and to register, visit sunnyvale.ca.gov and search Sustainable Speakers Series. So to recap, there's two particular events, Sharing the Stories LGBTQ Panel Dialogue, October 21st from 3 to 5 p.m. at City Hall. And the second one is Sustainable Series event, United for Disability and Climate Justice. And that's online October 27th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And you can register it at sunnyvale.ca.gov. This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda and presentation items. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing's general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. This commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters on the commission's authority, known as the commission's subject matter of jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside this commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule that speaker out of order. This is so that we can conduct business in a reasonable, efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. The speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer or raise your hand digitally by dialing *9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. Speakers will have at least 3 minutes to speak. Do we have anyone in person who would like to speak under oral communications?
Yes, we do. We have Valerie here.
Hey, Valerie, why don't you come on down and talk to us? And just to touch base, is there anyone online waiting to speak? So this is potentially the only speaker. Okay.
Good evening, council members, commissioners and staff. My name is Valerie Suarez. I am the chair of the Snail Community
Hold on 1 second. I think we're gonna, yeah. And just so you know, we typically keep it just about 3 minutes. Well, I'll let you go over, but
it'll be quick.
Not much longer.
It'll be quick.
Okay.
So if you do not know where the Sale community is, it is located north of Sunnyvale, and it's bordered by Matilda on the west, Awani on the north, Fair Oaks on the east, and East Maud in the south. The reason I'm coming over here is to address a wish from the residents of the Snail community in order to propose some ideas for the redoing and the updating of the Columbia Park, which is located right in the center of the Snail community. So the idea that came from the residents as well as the children of the snail community is to incorporate snails in the design of the park. And let me tell you why. The snail community is a community of interest. It is a nonprofit. It's been founded in 95. We have more than 2,000 members, or actually household. We have one senior community north of the park. We distribute a newsletter to 1,600 homes door to door on a monthly basis. I'm going to give you a sample of this particular newsletter. We also have 9 little free libraries in the community. So it's, again, I'm going to give you a map of these little free libraries. But more importantly, we are known for the biggest and the largest and the funniest neighborhood association party, which is called National Night Out. This particular year, we celebrated our 30th anniversary, and in attendance, we had close to 600 people. Mm-hmm. These are a couple of pictures that I've put together for you. As you can tell, we have a mascot. We have a snail mascot. It is a costume that was handmade by a resident. And residents are really into the idea of snails, right? It is our nickname. It is our mascot. You can see the watermelon in the center right there. It was a beautiful thing. So the event, I'm just giving you some quick overview. It is known as the biggest party in the city of the Sunnyvale. All of these folks were in attendance this year, not only our council member, Richard Mellinger, who is District 5 representative, but we also had other council members who'd never showed up before, but this year they wanted to be part of our 30th anniversary. The other thing is we had 4 founding members at the event. Shows you the importance of this particular community. We had lots of activities for the kids this year, and they made something for you, which I will present to you at the end of the presentation. So they're coming to you with a request to incorporate some snails into the design of the park and the update. So what I have done, and this is available, I will email it to everybody, or you will be, Laura will email it to you, because those links are live. And they show little snails that could be incorporated, or bigger ones that can be incorporated into the park. So this is a beautiful slide that is actually displayed in a park in the United Kingdom. It's a happy snail. We have another snail, another slide, and it's in east of Los Angeles. It's a much bigger one, but it's a happy one as well. I've given you this, especially for the Arts Commission, because there is this park in Portland, Oregon, that has this particular artist, Christine Bourdette. She's done a lot of snails in the park. And we thought, well, maybe we could incorporate some of these. You have her link, you have her website. If you want to reach out, maybe she would be willing to do some things for us. If you travel to Switzerland, in Basel, in Basel, there is this fabulous fountain. It's made out of this, you can't really see it from here, but it's just bronze. A beautiful, yes, yeah. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. I don't know if it would be a possibility, but something fun. Such as this little guy, right? He's happy. He is just a happy little guy. If you think about a playground, it's a middle school, right? But it's also used by a lot of Bishop kids who are the elementary school. We could have a snail-shaped climber as well, which is a lot of fun. For the younger ones, you could have kind of a little wooden sculpture that could be made by the local people, right? Incorporating the local community. We could have not only regular artists, but we could have local communities. And I'm going to stop right here because this is really what the snail community is asking. I am talking on their behalf. I'm talking on the behalf of the kids. They really, really, really would love to have some snails. I have two more slides, which are links for you to look at when you're going to get them. And that's it. So again, my name is Valerie. I'm the chair of the Snail Neighborhood. And I have a gift from these kids. Because what they want to have is they want you to remember snails while you plan the park. Any questions? I'll be happy to address them.
Certainly. If you can stay there for just one moment. I do have a question for staff. Do we have a slated renovation for Columbia Park?
Yeah, Jim Stark, I'm the park superintendent of the city. Yeah, thanks for coming out tonight.
Of course.
Yeah, I was just looking in the budget book. We do the smaller parks as kind of, we group them together. For example, we just did like, Greenwood Manor. I don't know, a couple of the smaller little parks, and names escape me now. Danza was one, but we're going to do one. I don't want to look through the computer, but Columbia is slated for this coming year to go into design. Now, we don't do public outreach meetings for these smaller parks. Basically, we just do like a repair and replace thing. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is we do work with the engineers on these projects. So I can talk with them and urge them to do the same thing. And what you're doing now is perfect. Address the commission. You know, get in touch with city council, express your desires there. I don't think it's a huge ask. You know, we are going to be changing out the playground equipment, and I'm sure there's snails out there that we could take a look at. It's just a little more difficult because we don't have a formal outreach process for these smaller parks, but it is coming up for renovation, I think, in the next year.
Correct.
And I can certainly pass on your comments. I would encourage you to email everybody in the city. You know, probably a good one to email would be the public works answer point, just the general public works, because the engineers and public works are the ones that drive these projects. As a parks guy, we basically are the end customer. Once they're all done, designed, built, and everything, they hand them over to us.
Of course.
So we're only kind of in an advisory role during the planning and construction part. But
Chip.
I'll absolutely.
Chip Taylor, right?
That's your guy.
Yep.
Yep. But I'll probably do an email while wrapping up this meeting to the engineers and let them know about this.
And I'll be happy to present. Oh, Laura, you will be email you this presentation.
Yeah,
with
please
the
do. Yeah, yes. Please do.
Just to address the sand need to be removed.
We'll get rid of the sand.
Barks or whatever.
We don't do sand anymore. We're going more towards the resilient surfacing, basically for a lot of reasons. But we don't do the sand anymore.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's really great to have someone to have you here to answer these questions. I really appreciate that. And Val, it was great to hear from you.
Thank you.
And just to recap, you've got approximately 2,800 people in the snail community that you're representing.
This is correct.
Right? And it's the biggest party in Sunnyvale.
It's the biggest party in Sunnyvale.
And the request is to have more snails at Columbia Park.
If at all possible.
Yeah.
Just, you know, historical piece. I mean, if you type in on Google Maps snail.
That's what shows up.
All
right. Thank you so much, Val.
My pleasure.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Thank you for all that you do. I know it's one of the most popular very well-organized neighborhood association.
Thank you.
And thank you for all that you do. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Val. It's great to have you here. All right. So do we have anyone online for oral communications? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do we have anyone online? This is a wonderful gift. Thank you so much. Thank you. This looks great. Thank you. Do we have anyone online for oral communication? So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close that part of the gift,
but thank you because I don't want to get caught up in a conflict of interest conversation.
So we're going to move to consent calendar. I will go ahead and open public comment for the consent calendar items. Please submit a card or to the recording officer. Please raise your digital hand or *9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public to participate in person. 3 minutes will be allotted. Do we have anyone in public for that? No. Do we have anyone online for that? No. So I'll go ahead and I'm going to close close that part of the item. Close that part of public comment. I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues. This is a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting. I'm looking for a motion from my colleagues to motion
because I was in the last meeting.
Yeah, last meetings.
Yes, I need you to make a motion to approve our for the meeting minutes from last meeting.
Yes, I approve.
So we have a motion on the table to approve the meeting minutes from last meeting. Can we have a roll call vote for that, please?
Commissioner Geary.
Sorry, I'll abstain, even though I remotely watched the meeting, but because I was not part of the meeting. Yeah, thank you.
You can still.
I can still.
As long as approve. You read the minutes, you can approve.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. I approve.
Chair Kesting?
I approve.
Commissioner Gattani?
I approve.
The motion passes 3-2 excused absences.
Okay, excellent. So we approve the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes from September 10th, 2025. So we'll move on to public hearings and general business. This is item A25-0910, the preliminary discussion of the 2026 master work plan. This is item 25-0910. This is the draft work plan. January 14th, study issues. Do we have any comments or questions for staff on the work plan?
Do we want to bring this up the next meeting so that more commissioners have input on this because it's a plan for the whole year?
We could do that. We don't have to defer this until next meeting.
We can approve it at the next one if you guys just want to talk about it or just wait.
I'd like to make a motion to defer this to our next meeting. Do I have a second on that?
A second.
You don't need to motion. We'll just carry it over.
Okay, excellent. Okay. Thank you. So we'll carry that over to the next meeting when we have more people. Do we have any remote speakers for that? So I'll go ahead and I'll close public comment. Non-agenda items and comments. This portion of the of our meeting is for oral reports and announcements by commission members and staff to share any information. Do commission members have any non-agenda items or comments?
No.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything? Man, I always remember the stuff when I'm out in the field and I'm like, that's a great park. I want to talk about that at the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting. And then I forget about it.
We had a great State of the Union, State of the City meeting. And I think the Parks Commission was recognized as well, along with other commissions. And it was a great meeting. Other than I remembered something from that meeting, but I don't remember it now. So
you got a really nice jacket out of it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All of you should get one too. Yeah, I'll have to rock it sometime soon. So I think that's going to be it. Do we have any, if there's no other non-agenda items or comments? No, okay, so then this meeting is adjourned at 8:16 p.m. Wow, it got done.